Fusion and summertime is here. And indeed, we're going to turn the floor over this morning to our Sunday school superintendent, Brother Ben Shelton. And he's got some good news for some of our folks who are moving up and doing a little graduating within the Sunday school. And so we want you to know of their change and their achievement. So, Brother Ben.
Well, the first thing that I'd like to do this morning, if you are a children's Sunday school teacher, a substitute teacher, you've substituted any time during the past year, or you're a children's worker, would you stand up real quick? Okay, we still have some that are filing in. Can you guys give these teachers and these children's workers a round of applause? They do so much each week, whether it's preparation for their class, getting a craft or an activity ready for every Sunday morning. And I know my kids bring home papers after papers every week of just fun little stuff that they have done in class. And without these teachers, without these workers, we don't get that. So they do so much in the lives of our children. I just wanted to make certain that they were recognized this morning. We do have a need going forward. You know that we've got quite a bit of church outreach and hopefully church growth planned for this summer. So we are in need of a Sunday school children's teacher. If you feel led to teach a class, see myself, see the pastor. But we have a first and second grade teaching position open. So if anyone, like I said, feels led to fill that position, please see me. But this morning we do want to recognize some of our kids that will be promoting up from the class that they're currently in to a class that they're going to be going to. And I want our former children's director, Steve Beetzler, to come up here and help me real quick. Steve has been our children's director for several years and has decided to step down and let someone take that over for this coming year, which hopefully here in the next week or two we can announce who that will be. But I would like Steve to be recognized. He has done such a great job in making certain our kids have been taken care of as far as Sunday school teachers. I can? Okay. Well, I'll do that here in a second. But Steve has done just so much. How many years have you done it? 4 or 5 at least? It's been several years. So I just want to recognize Steve this morning. But taking over for our children's department will be Miss Mary Willard, if she can stand up. Mary has volunteered to take on that position, and you guys probably don't understand what all that position requires. There's so much organizing and planning, but we just thank those of you that are willing to work with our kids. We'll go ahead and move on. Children that are moving up from our preschool and kindergarten class, and that is Georgianne Raper that teaches that class. Jacob Carricker, if you'll come on down. And then also Jocelyn Shelton. All right, well, they're getting their certificate. We'll go ahead and have Aiden Horn come up. Aiden is moving on from our third and fourth grade, or up to our third and fourth grade. And then we have some kids that are moving out of our children's department and into the youth group. And I don't know if either one of them are here, but we do want to recognize them at least by name this morning. And that's Madison Sutterly, excuse me, and Wyatt Shattuck. They'll be moving up to our youth group. So pray for them. Pray for their parents especially. And then we do have one graduating senior, and that is Jeannie Raper. So give all these kids and all these children's workers a hand this morning.
And so it's interesting not only to do the work along with them, but also then to learn how they do things as well.
It's amazing how they use every resource that they have. you know, dirt, mud, straw, rocks, and that they can create a building out of that.
They call it useless material, and it to us it would be useless material, but here it's very useful. Just like the rocks that they break up and cut up and things.
You know, we're so precise in America, everything, you know, level, square, and here they just don't have that luxury.
But yet when it's done, it is a building that will last for years, and it will change the children here who will get the benefit from the fact that they'll get an education from it. You know, as hard as our lives are at home, and as difficult as life can be, these men here, they live that life every day. They have nothing. They don't have electricity. They don't have water. It's really a humbling, humbling experience to be here and to be touched. You come on a missions trip to help people, and in return, you're the one that gets touched, and you're the one that gets blessed.
I'm eternally grateful for everything. I mean, I believed I was grateful before, but now it's just, I'm amazed, and I'm very grateful for my children and health, you know, water. Whoever thought water was, you know, I mean, it's a great thing, but you know, I know I waste it when I get home, but like I got plenty. These people here don't have it.
I guess I want people to appreciate what we have in America, you know, more than they do.
I think you need to open your door and expand and know that there's other people out there that need you.
Spiritually, it has helped me to blossom and to look deeper, much deeper, and to hunger more for the Word and to be grateful that I can witness openly and that I can be a Christian.
I just want to praise God for giving me this opportunity and praise God for each and every one of these people on this team here. And for just allowing me to be here. I mean, it's an honor.
Open your hearts and never be closed-minded. Don't ever think that mission work isn't for you. That you can't go around the world and save people because you can. The ones that say that they can't do it are the ones that need to. And you would be very blessed and fulfilled with what you would get out of the experience. Don't ever say that I can't help anyone because you can, whether it be by prayer, monetary donations, food, clothes, just encouragement. Those are all things that work together. And it helps build other people up and helps them to press forward and put God's plan into motion. Don't ever think that you can't help anybody because you can. You are not useless material.
Did you see anything different in that film than the way we do things? We have gone, or the church has gone, into several countries and built churches without rubbing shoulders with the people that you're building for. And they call that an American church or an American building, and it's not theirs. When Work and Witness goes the way it should be, we rub shoulders with those people. We do things that look old-fashioned to us as far as mixing cement and doing those kind of things. And when you rub shoulders with them as they put up a building, it becomes their building. So Work and Witness is so important that we do it their way and not our way. And if you want to know about Work and Witness, you know how enthused I am about it. And so I'll be happy to share or answer any questions that I can for you. I'd like to have our ushers come at this time to receive our weekly tithes and offerings. John, would you come and ask God's blessings on our offering?
Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the privilege of returning unto you what you have bestowed on each one of us. You've asked for the tenth. Not how much, as far as a total amount, but the percentage of what you have bestowed upon us. Take it, bless it, and we give you the praise. Amen.
As we read in unison,
I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
God, Lord, we redeem the ocean clear and where the sky the parchment pay for every soul on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade. To write the law of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll
for prayer this morning. We want to be mindful of those names that are listed within your bulletin. Trust that you will take those people and those situations to the Lord in your prayer closets this week. I trust that perhaps you still have in your possession the pamphlet from Faith Promise Convention. This will remind you to pray for missions. If you have not filled out a Faith Promise card yet, they are the white cards on the corner of the sound booth, and you can make a Faith Promise pledge for this coming year as we support missions. We had a wonderful NMI convention this past week at District Assembly, and the Potters spoke to us who are in Vanuatu, and they have done a wonderful work there and are continuing to do a wonderful work. Exciting stories they told us of just, what was it, Pastor Don, 3 weeks ago that they encountered a cyclone and had to deal with all that. And so that story was fresh on their mind, and they were sharing that with us. And how God had miraculously, in a group, there are about 80 islands in the area where they are at. And in the course of that cyclone sweeping through the middle of that, as frail as their housing and things is, there were only 13 deaths in that. And story after story after story of God's protection and provision for His people as they indeed were a part of that natural disaster. And so we give God praise and thank Him for His protection and provision. And then we know from a couple weeks ago that perhaps you still have the information on our Summer for Souls and the programs and the outreaches that we will be a part of. We want you to cover these with prayer. The 22nd of June, we will go that week into the city park here, Rotary Park, and we will distribute free bottles of cold water to the parents and siblings of those ball players that are there at those parks on Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Saturday morning. And we'll distribute free water to them and give advertisement of our church and our Vacation Bible School and our Faith Family and Fun Day that will be coming up. And then we'll have a booth on the 4th of July at the city event from 4 o'clock to 10 o'clock and give away sunscreen during the day and bug spray before the fireworks go off at night, and again give out information and have the opportunity to pray with folks perhaps and to share Christ at those events. And then VBS will be July 6th through the 9th. God's Love Giveaway will be the following Sundays, six of them total, that we will give away each week in our service for 5 weeks. We'll give away to first-time visitors. We'll give away a $100 gift card to one of those first-time families each week. And on the sixth Sunday, which is the Sunday after our Faith Family and Fun Day on August 15th, those folks who have attended during those five Sundays, however many times they've attended after their first visit, their name will be in the drawing for a $500 gift card on that Sunday, that we might have the opportunity to attract them to Jesus Christ and to our church, and the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And then indeed on the August 15th is our Faith Family and Fun Day, the Max Arnold Memorial Car Show. And then we will begin in August our program Pastries and Prayer, which will cover all 10 school buildings of our educational system. And every month, and Carolyn will be heading this up, every month we will target a different building, and we will pray for 30 days over that building's faculty and staff, student body. And one day during that time, then we will go into each of those buildings, and we will take pastries in, courtesy of Nixon Church of the Nazarene, and covered with prayer, and indeed try to let our faculty and staff of our educational system know that they are loved and appreciated and cared for. And so we hope that these outreaches will let people know that there's a God in heaven who loves them and is interested and wants a relationship with them. And we're going to do everything we can to facilitate that. So these things need prayer cover. We need to be praying for these events as they happen. And indeed, on the corner of the sound booth is a yellow card like this. And if you haven't had one of these yet, you can pick one up, and on there you can check and let us know what you would be willing to be a part of and how you'd be willing to serve, whether it's prayer or participation or financial support of those events, or you're being able to be a part of them. So make that a matter of prayer in your lives as well. And we want these to be a great, successful summer. I want to go to District Assembly next year, and I want to tell about all the people who came to know Jesus Christ because of you giving a cup of cold water or a donut or whatever in Jesus' name, and that we've had the opportunity to reach out, and we trust that indeed Christ will be a part of their lives. And then just one other prayer request. Some of you know from our past history, Shirley Massengale, who's been a long member of this community, has a great grandson, Easton Collins, who is having surgery on Monday morning, that we want to remember in prayer as well. So remember these things. The altars are open this morning. If you have need of a place just to come, to kneel, to lay down a burden, to lift up praise, no one's going to bother you. No one's going to come to you. It'll just be your private place with your personal God this morning. And so we encourage you to come as we sing. Let's stand together. And as we sing, if you have need, you feel free to come and find a place of prayer. Then we'll lift our voices together.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place.
Father, we are so thankful today for the privilege and the opportunity of fellowshipping and worshiping together in your house. We are thankful today that we can call you Abba, Father. That we literally can say Daddy to you. That you love us. You want us to crawl up into your lap of mercy and of love and to share what's on our hearts and minds with you. You've told us we have not because we ask not. You told us that we could indeed come with confidence and in boldness to the throne for grace and help in our time of need. And so, Father, we come today first and foremost just to tell you that we love you and we appreciate you and we thank you for the access that you have given to us. Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus to die on a cross, to be the atonement and the sacrifice for our sins, that we might indeed, through the crucifixion and the resurrection, have a personal relationship, and that what we deserve, an eternity in eternal punishment, can be negated because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if we by faith receive that, that we indeed can have our sins forgiven. That you indeed at Pentecost, which we celebrated the anniversary of last week, that you gave the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we have a constant companion and a counselor who walks alongside the Paraclete, who comforts us and guides us, helps us to understand your wooings and understand your communication with us, and helps us to have enlightenment about your word. So, Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Pray that you would fill us to overflowing. We thank you, Father, as we celebrated in the course of this assembly time and time again. We heard, Lord, the information given out and the promotion of the message of holiness. We're thankful, Father, that you came not only to forgive us of our sins, but that you came to deliver us from the power of sin in our lives, that through the infilling of your Holy Spirit that we can be totally surrendered and yielded, and that we can make right choices, and that we can pillow our head each night in peace. And Lord, while we know that we're not going to be God or we're not going to be absolutely perfect, that we can know in our hearts that we have given our best each day, and that we have yielded our all to you, and that you have cleansed us as only you can do. And Lord, that you have empowered us to be a help to others and to be a witness for your kingdom. So, Father, we thank you for the great fellowship and the great inspiration that we enjoyed this past week. Lord, we'd like to share that this morning. We'd like to somehow convey some of that to our people here. And as we sing these songs and as we pray and as we give our offerings, that we truly are acknowledging that there's a great God in heaven who loves us, who has a plan for us, who has a plan to save the entire world. And, Father, we want to tap into that plan. We want to be obedient in being a part of that. And so, Father, we pray your blessing upon this church, upon its ministries, upon its families. Lord, we pray that for those who have yet to come, those who we will touch throughout this summer for souls, that indeed, Father, that we will be prepared and ready to receive them with open arms of love and with the great message of the Bible. And that, Father, that we'll be able to respond to human need by supernatural and divine power. Lord, we just pray that you would have your will and your way today. In all that's said and done, may you be glorified and honored. You said if we lift you up, you would draw all men into yourself. And so, Father, we want to lift you up today. We want to celebrate you. We want to give you praise, give you all that you are worthy of. In Jesus' powerful and precious name, we ask you. Thank you for your touch upon our lives in terms of physical situations and emotional situations, most of all spiritual situations. You are the great provider, protector, and healer. We love you and thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nails hard hand. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to
Jan and Steve, a wonderful song. That's one of my favorites, if not my most favorite. And I have to tell you, Steve, I'm a little jealous because I quit early on, like about the first week that the thought of piano lessons was given to me. That was not very, very cool. And then when I learned a little bit of guitar, my Uncle Bill, Cheryl's dad, taught me the chords G, C, and D, and I could sing as a 13-year-old. I could get my silver tone little electric guitar and amp and sing in my church, put your hand in the hand of the man. And so I didn't become very accomplished with guitar and never learned how to play piano, and so I'm just envious because you have, I purchased soundtracks now to sing with, but you have an automatic soundtrack with you at all times, your wonderful wife, Janet, plays so wonderfully, and see, a soundtrack has some great studio musicians on it, and when you push the button to play, it plays nonstop. I mean, you either sing it the way that it's on that track, or you don't get to sing it. And one of the things that crossed my mind today as I was listening to Steve sing, Janet was playing, but Janet was feeling the emotion of whatever Steve was singing, and she would emphasize crescendos and decrescendos and things as he was singing. She was reading him, and a true accompanist. I mean, that's as good as it gets. And so thank you so much for that wonderful song, both of you, your talent for leading our worship and our choir and the various things that take place in a church. We appreciate you so very, very much. And so I love that song. And then I want to say welcome this morning. I have to make a confession. Rennie and Betty came into service this morning, and my computer kicked in, but it wasn't computing. And I knew Betty's face was so familiar to me, and I was just running and running and running and running and running and running. And then I got lucky, and Pat came down and spoke to her, and so I knew there was a connection there. And so I said, "Pat, help me out here. I'm struggling." I said, I know that I know Betty from somewhere. And he said, "Oh, well, Betty's taught school with Carolyn for some time." But I knew it was more than that. And I apologize, Betty. Just forgive me. I actually was adopted class back a couple years ago, and Betty's class was the class that I adopted from my business. And wonderful. She loves those kids, and it was just a wonderful classroom to be a part of. And so I am both honored and humbled for you to be here this morning. And forgive me for not having a better memory. We've just come home from assembly, and I had 100 other things on my mind. And so we are thrilled that you are here. Make yourselves at home, please. We love and appreciate each and every one of you. It's been a week of fullness. Heard tremendous messages from missionaries and from our general superintendent. And then I was invited. To play with some pastors at after the assembly was over on Friday afternoon. They invited me to play golf with the district superintendent and the general superintendent. Well, that didn't happen very often. But I'll tell you this, when a storm comes through on number 6, the general superintendent looks just as much like a wet duck as everybody else does. We had good fellowship. The day ended early. But we have some great pastors on our district. We love our district superintendent, who, by the way, received I think it was 200 and some affirmative votes to 3 no votes in his renewal call as district superintendent. Our district won over 100 and some people more than we've ever won before this past year to the Lord. And there are now about 80 churches that are registered, have been organized on our district. So an increase of about 10 or 13 there. And there are about 20 more that are waiting to be organized. And so it's been a fantastic year on the district. And we want to tap in and be a part of that. We want to see God to bless the church. We want to see the pews become full of people excited about Jesus. And thus our emphasis on outreach, trying to go beyond the four walls of our church more than we ever have before. We heard from Sunday School Ministries, we heard from missions, we heard from the general church throughout the course of the week. And I want to share with you this morning, kind of in relationship, you know, we take time to acknowledge these children this morning because we believe children are important to God. And we believe that God loves to see His children, no matter what age they are, because that's all of us. We believe that God likes to see His children move forward to learn more. And so I want you to turn your attention this morning to a passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to talk to you for a few moments this morning what God has laid on my heart about advancing the kingdom. Advancing the kingdom. We talked about a summer for souls a couple of weeks ago, and we want to continue to think about what we're trying to do here and how we're trying to reach out with God's love and God's message to our community that others might come to know Him as their personal Lord and Savior, and have Him to be a help in their lives. So I turn your attentions to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to read verse 1 and then jump to verses 11 through 14 this morning. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Then going to verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll be no longer infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And so we have a charge that is given to us. The church exists to equip the saints. The church exists to help people fulfill the commission that Christ gave to them. Now, you know, we've had a tendency through the years as society was, the church was a social center of the community. It's where a lot of activity took place and people would come, whether saved or lost, they would come to be a part of the fellowship and the gathering. And what we have seen happen in the last probably 30 years or more is that has changed culturally. The church is no longer the social center of the community. Now, it can be, and there certainly is a community that happens within the believers, we hope, of things that are available for them to partake in and to fellowship and to be a part of, just like we'll have dinner today after the service, and that will be a great opportunity for us just to sit down and enjoy each other even more. But you and I, we all know that the world is offering an abundant slate of activities for you to do other than going in the church. And so where in those older days that draw of fellowship and social connectivity existed primarily in the church greater than any other place in the community, people would come to church to be together. And they would hear the gospel and they would become saved. And what we've realized now culturally is that far more people are being won to Christ outside the walls of the church than probably are being won inside the church, and then they're coming to church and being equipped to learn and to be resourced so that they can indeed go back out and reproduce and become what God wants them to be. And that's what this passage of Scripture is talking about, the fact that every believer is a minister. You know, we think about building the church. We talk about building the church, but the truth of the matter is God never asks us to build His church. Do you know that? Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, He says, I will build my church. But He did ask us to do something that facilitates His ability to do that. He gave us a commission. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, He said, you go make disciples. You go make disciples and I will build my church. You convince people, you share with people the opportunity, you grant them the entrance to a relationship with me, and I'll take care of things from there. Because here's what happens. Once we introduce people to Jesus Christ and get them to fall in love with Jesus and His Word, and they begin to pursue God, then getting involved in church is kind of one of those things they do because the Scripture has directed them to. Now, that can happen many ways, and sometimes inviting them to come to church is where they hear the message. But the truth of the matter is, people have a lot of expectations of church, and the greater impact in our world socially today is what's happening outside the walls of the church, the way that you live out Jesus every day in everyday situations, your challenges at home with your family, your challenges at work and getting along with coworkers, the way that you respond to people, your temperament, the love that you have, the grace and the mercy and forgiveness that's extended to others in horizontal relationships. That's what makes the difference, and that's what attracts people to God and to Jesus, is when you look and act like them. Because that's different than most of the rest of the world acts naturally. And people notice that difference. And in the course of this past week, as I listened to them talk about Sunday school ministries, and I listened to them talk about missions, and as we were challenged with inspirational messages in the church assembly, there were some things that began to work in my mind, and I was thinking about this promotion that we're going to have this morning, and this is Promotion Sunday, and the kids get to move up in class, and some of them, most of these classes are kind of two-year programs, and so some of them will just stay in the same class for another year, but some of them will graduate out, as you've seen this morning, and they will go to the next level. Well, I believe that part of the advancement of the kingdom, that task is fulfilled through promotion. In other words, we fully expect these children to advance. We expect them to move forward. We know that there are some things that are going to take place. There's some growth that's going to take place just by nature of the fact that they're aging every day. Now, if they respond normally and naturally, just like going through the secular education system, as they complete one set of requirements, they are advanced to the next level. And we have that same opportunity through Sunday school and through the educational processes of the church. I believe that God fully expects us to grow. Matter of fact, if we have children, wouldn't we be disappointed if they didn't do some of those things they're supposed to do at the time that they're supposed to do them? I mean, you moms, you kind of have this stuff charted out. Dads are not as good at this. We don't have these numbers all laid out in our heads. But you mothers, you kind of know when they're supposed to roll over from their back to their tummy or their tummy to their back or whichever one of those things it is they're supposed to do first. You guys know that. And you guys know about what time you expect them to start drooling all over the place and crying a lot because their first teeth are coming in. And you know when you expect that they should be trying to stand on their own and pull themselves up indeed to the furniture and indeed then to take first steps. You know when that's supposed to happen. And if it goes kind of a few weeks beyond what you expect, then you're probably going to say to your spouse, you're probably going to say, "I'm a little concerned." Because we all know that our kids are the smartest, and our kids are the best looking, and our kids have the most intellect. And so we certainly don't want Susie's kids to, or grandkids to be going faster than ours. And so we notice that stuff. And so we begin to think they're not moving naturally and normally. And so we would take them to a doctor. We'd have them checked out. And we know that they go, you know, who wants to go to pre-K screening, you know, and have them say, your child's a little behind. Your child's motor skills are not as advanced as they need to be. And they should be able to do this and they should be able to do that, and they won't and they don't and they can't. Nobody wants to hear that. And yet, at the same time, we're glad that there's something out there that warns us or alarms us if that progress is not taking place so that we can do something about it. Well, it's no different in the spiritual realm. There's growth that should be expected. Listen to this this verse of Scripture in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. And then we can turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. And it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And so we expect this growth to take place. And we expect that if children come to Sunday school, if they come to church, if they fellowship with the believers, that there's going to be a natural progression and they're going to begin to know some of the things that we would expect them to know. And very early on, like when they first come, we teach them things like, you know, we simplify things. But we begin to teach them Scripture right out of the nursery. We want them to be able to say, God is love. And we begin to impress upon them John 3:16. We want them to know that Jesus died, that God loved the world so much that He sent His Son to die for them. And those are some of those first verses they begin to hear them. And we begin to teach them the stories. You know, the stories about Adam and Eve. And the stories about how they disobeyed God in the garden and how sin came about and how we're sinners. We begin to give them those simple, basic gospel truths. We begin to give them stories about Daniel in the lion's den and David and Goliath and stuff that, you know, just really is impressive upon them, and how the Moses took the Israelites across the Red Sea and God closed the water on the Egyptians. And we begin to give them these miraculous stories. And we begin to tell them this stuff because we're trying to help them understand our God is supernatural. Our God is sovereign. Our God is miraculous. And that we don't have to fear in this life, and that we don't have to be afraid, and we can have confidence by trusting in God. And so we give them all of His characteristics, and we expect them to kind of pick up on that and begin to learn that and to grow. And yet there's more than just growing. We want them to mature, because there's a difference. Sometimes people jump through the hoops, but they don't mature. Sometimes kids can do something intellectually, but socially they can't integrate themselves. They can't really take what they know and put it to use to function normally or progressively in society. And we read in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 4, it says this: perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. We know some people who have intellect, but they don't have social skills. They're not completely mature. They lack something. And we know some other people who are really social, not too intellectual. And we also know that everybody's different. And on a different timeline, and depending on what advantages and opportunities they've had. You know, depending on how much mom or dad read to them at home while they were growing up, depending on how much that was promoted, depending on how much interaction there was, what kind of social interaction there was in the home, whether those children were challenged and told that they can do anything that they set their minds to, and they can be anything they want to be, as opposed to saying, you're stupid and you're dumb and you're in the way and don't mess with me, get out of my way. I know that our teachers see that stuff in the classroom. They see those kids that can thrive because they've been told they can thrive. And there are other kids who haven't had that benefit. And it's not that they're not capable. It's that nobody ever turned on the right buttons or light switches for them. It's the way it is in the church sometimes. Sometimes people don't advance in the way they ought to because they've never been challenged to advance. Nobody ever told them they're supposed to advance. That's why I hope for those of you, and I am so glad you're here. I am thrilled you're here for worship. But for those of you who have gotten out of the habit of Sunday school and only in the habit of worship, can I beg you? Can I just get down on my, I'd get down on my knees, but I wouldn't be able to get back up. So at any rate, just think about the fact that I'm wishing I was down on my knees, begging you to get involved in Sunday school. You see, because we go from the point of promotion, that in all of those years of promotion, what's got to be happening during the course of all that is preparation. The truth of the matter is there's got to be some great teaching and training that's going on so that they can learn the foundational truths, and then they can move past that. We look in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, and it says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death. But the bottom line is they got to learn those foundational truths first. I wonder today if we did a survey, and this is why we have Bible quizzing, it's why we do Vacation Bible School, it's why we have Sunday School. We want your kids to know, and hopefully you've taught them, and we're trying to reinforce that. Sometimes we have to teach it, and they don't get reinforcement when they go away from here. Some kids, you know, are sent to Sunday school, and their parents don't even come with them. But our job here is to prepare them to know and understand who and how God is. We want them to know things like, if we did a survey today, I wonder how many people could tell us, if I needed to go in the Bible and find the Lord's Prayer, where would I find that? How many of you know where the Lord's Prayer is? Where's it at? Matthew 6. Okay, so we can get into the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And how many of you would know, if I ask you, how many commandments are there in the 10 commandments? I saw a cartoon one time. It said, this is the light church. We have 5% tithe and 7 commandments. Well, I don't want the light church. I want the biblical church. I want whatever God's told me ought to be the way it is before. There are 10 commandments. How many of you can name 10 of them? How many of you can name one of them? Just yell them out to me. Oh, surely and doubtfully we've got 10 of them in there by now. Do you know where they're found? On some tablets buried somewhere. Exodus chapter 20. How many of you know about the great commandment? What are the greatest commandments? Where do you find them? 22. Matthew chapter 22. How many of you know scriptures about baptism? You know, this has been fun the last few months. They're not in here now. I think they're gone. But for those of you who haven't been with us for very long or first-time visitors today, we've been having fun. We've had four and five-year-olds who've accepted Jesus Christ in the last year. And some of them accepted Christ at home. Some of them accepted Christ in Sunday school. One of them accepted Christ sitting in the back pew back there. And so that we've had these different things going on. But these kids now, they're still in that 4 to 6 year old category, and these kids are coming to us and saying, Pastor, I want to be baptized. They ask their parents first. They're saying that to their parents. Their parents are coming to me, and they're saying, I want to be baptized. And yes, for some of them who are small, sometimes it's because their friend got baptized. But when they talk with me, and we talk about the importance of them getting baptized as them following Jesus Christ, because they know it's because they ask Jesus in their heart. They're getting baptized because they ask Jesus in their heart. They want other people to know that they ask Jesus in their heart. And we go through this whole thing of Jesus being baptized and the Great Commission and all those kinds of things that indeed he put out there. And how many of you know where to find those things? Now you can find Jesus' baptism in virtually all the Gospels. And then we begin to find the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where he told us to baptize in his name. We can get in the book of Acts and find the history of baptism continuing in the church. How many of you know where to find passages of scripture about communion? The Gospels virtually all contain them. 1 Corinthians, Paul writes specifically about it. It's the one we use very often, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. These are the things we want our kids to learn and know. We want kids to be looking forward to accepting Christ in their first communion. We want people to get saved and look forward to getting baptized. We want them to know these fundamental truths. How many of you know what the Apostles' Creed is? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, God the Father Almighty, and from there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, which is a universal church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Now that's not a verse of scripture, but it comes from someplace that you recognize. For if you look back over in Acts chapter 2, you'll find the early church getting busy doing the work that they were supposed to do. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the Apostles' Creed. Teaching them all about Jesus Christ, why he came to this earth, how he died. Jesus' birth, death, resurrection. All fundamental truths that we indeed want our kids to know. The truth of the matter is, we need to know. There's a lot of people out there our age who don't know that stuff. But we want to create an environment here that will allow our kids to know who they are, what they believe, why they believe it, and be able then to go out and share that. How many of you know the scriptures to where you can share a plan of salvation with somebody? How many of you know that you can go to John 3:16 and find the plan of salvation? How many of you know the Roman road to salvation? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 5:8 says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then going to Romans 6:23, which says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 10:9 and 10 that says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. See, if you know that stuff, then when somebody says, how do I get saved? You don't have to say, well, go down to the church down the street. I think there's a pastor there, and he's got a bunch of Bibles in his shelves, and he can probably tell you. No. We need to be ready so that when someone says to us, there's something about you, you're happy, you don't get shook in these situations, there's something about you, and you say it's Jesus, and they say, well, how do I get Jesus? You can tell them. We need to know. We want our kids to learn this early on. We want to prepare them. We want them to have these foundational truths, and we want them to have the ability to share. For you see, it tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Can you do that? Can you give a reason for the hope that you have? Can you give an answer to the questions for the hope that you have? If you can't, you need to be able to. Doesn't matter what age you are, it's never too late to learn. And as we encounter people in this summer for souls, I hope that when you go to Rotary Park and you're talking to somebody whose kid's playing t-ball and they're sweating profusely and they want to drink a cold water and we're going to give it to them for free, and you say to them, I want to share this with you. In Jesus, in the love of Jesus Christ. Is there anything I can pray for you about? That we'll have the opportunity to pray for people. That if we get engaged in a conversation about what we believe, that we say, well, the most important thing is that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. How do I do that? Man, wouldn't it be great if you just ripped off right there in Rotary Park while their kid was crossing second base? You brought them all the way home to Jesus. That'd be good stuff, wouldn't it? Or shoot somebody with a little sunscreen. Oh yeah, this is good stuff. It'll hold all those UV rays off. And by the way, are you covered by the blood? Woo! Keep you from getting burned by the fires of hell. Get this. Now we were at district assembly. They were giving pastor's report, and there's this one pastor that was telling that he had led this guy to the Lord who is a competitive barbecuer. And as a result of becoming a Christian, he changed the name of his barbecue. And now it's called Turn or Burn. Woo! Yeah, give me some of that Turn or Burn barbecue. He's not only giving out burnt tips, he's giving out tips about how to miss hell. That's good stuff. That's real life. Which leads us to the point that when we're prepared, that we can indeed perform. Now, I want you to understand, we're not saved by works. Nobody is ever saved by works. Okay? Just get that right now. That is not what I'm saying. But once we become saved, I want you to think about what the Scripture says to us. Let me read to you from 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. The things we do are now prompted by our faith. Anybody here a basketball fan? Does anybody here know that the NBA Finals are about to take place? Does anybody here know that Stephon Curry is probably one of the most devoted Christian people there is anywhere? He's also probably the best, most prolific three-point shooter in the NBA and has ever been in the history of the NBA. That all across the internet and other places, he's sharing his testimony about his love for Jesus Christ. And basketball, while he's making millions of dollars playing it, basketball is secondary to him. But what a powerful platform to be able to share. Now playing for the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Championships. And there are those people who God has given gifts and abilities, and they're using those gifts and abilities to be a platform to share. They're taking that responsibility on. You know, we just hear Brother Ben stood this morning and said, hey, we're about ready to launch into the summer of outreach, and right now we're off one class in our we need a teacher for first and second graders in our Sunday school. And so let me just help you with that. Matthew chapter 9. Then Jesus went through all the towns and villages, preaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Boy, was that prophetic. But he was talking about right then and there, because Christianity was relatively new on the face of the earth at the time he's saying this. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. And here's what you need to know. When you pray about workers, and you say, oh God, we need a first and second grade Sunday school teacher, please send us a first and second grade Sunday school teacher. You know who he might send? You. Just don't forget that. You might be the one he taps on the shoulder and says, I'd like for you to teach first and second graders in that church. Pray for the Lord to send out workers into the harvest field. You know, because this is what it says in the Scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. All kinds of people can quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, it's the gift of God, not of works. Okay, but a lot of people can't quote number 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. No, we're not saved by works, but once we're saved, there's work to do. Who will I send? Who will go for me? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Is that what you're saying this morning? Here am I, send me. Some of you have. I got yellow cards. We put out about 70 of those yellow cards the other day, and we've gotten about 35 of them back. And some of you are saying, here am I, send me. And so we're giving your names to the directors of every one of those programs and saying, hey, here's the people that volunteered. They said, here am I, send me. So you grab them, send them. So you're going to be hearing from those folks. They're going to be asking for your help. James chapter 2. Verses 17 and 18. In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Works do not save us, but they are the evidence of our salvation. It's the proof. If you're going to go to court and get convicted of something, you've got to have some evidence. Works are the evidence of your love for and relationship to Jesus Christ. You just want to do what he wants you to do. You want to please the Father. And true disciples, true Christ followers produce fruit. Look at John chapter 15. We're about to end here. Hang with me for just a few seconds longer. In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then over to 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. That's what God said. The words of Jesus, these are red letter words. Go bear fruit. Here is the issue. We need to move as Christians, we need to move from consumers to true congregants. We need to get from what's the church going to do for me to what will Jesus do through me when I offer myself. You know, John F. Kennedy became famous, and they quote him now, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." People think that's a great quote, but when you challenge them with it in church, then all of a sudden they're not too sure about that. Ask not what the church is going to do for you, but what you, through the power of Jesus Christ, can do for His church. That's what maturity is. That's what growing up is. I heard this quote this past week. Dr. Graves spoke this in one of his messages. God is not looking for extraordinary men, but ordinary people who will do ordinary things extraordinarily well by His grace and power. Not looking for extraordinary men, but ordinary people who will do ordinary things extraordinarily well by His grace and power. It's not dependent upon you. You're just producing availability. God's producing all the ability. And I believe that we can advance the kingdom. I believe that we can achieve one for one in one. Each one of you winning one person to the Lord in 1 year's time will double this congregation. If nothing else, it'll advance the kingdom of God, and that's more important. That's why we're here, to advance the kingdom. Promotion time. Move a little further up the ladder. Be resourced. Be equipped. Achieve, accomplish through the power and the presence of the Almighty God and Holy Spirit. Amen. It's a summer for souls, folks. What are we going to do with it? There are lots of people out there who need to know Jesus. Let's go introduce them. Let's make a difference in our community. Let's be a lighthouse to our world. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, prepare our hearts. Teach us what You want us to know. Help us to get into Your Word. Help us to be involved in Sunday school. Help us to be involved in the educational arm of the church, not just worship. But help us to get involved and interact with people in fellowship and be a part of a Sunday school class and learn more about the Word of God so that we can be all we can be for Jesus Christ. Lord, we need that preparation. We need that teaching and training. Father, just lay on our heart what You'd have us to do. Lord, every one of us as a believer is a minister. We ought to be involved in some kind of ministry. I don't know what it is. Everybody's not going to be involved in everything. But Lord, help us to know what it is You want us to be involved in. And Lord, right here, I bet today in this congregation, I bet there's somebody who's supposed to be that first and second grade teacher. So Lord, lay it on their heart. Challenge them. Help them to step up and say, with Your help, Lord, I'll do it. In order to help us to be well prepared and ready to receive the people who will come into Your kingdom and our church through this summer for souls. Thank You for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thank You for providing for the forgiveness of our sins and for a relationship and a daily walk with You. Thank You for Your patience, Your perseverance. We're grateful. We love You. We give You our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Just before you go this morning, we need to remind you that we indeed are having dog's dinner today. That's Dinner on the Ground Society, for those of you who might not be familiar with us. And at Dogs Dinners, we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, and as well as first-time visitors. And so if you're a first-time visitor in the last month, we invite you to come. We want you to go right to the head of the line and break all that in for us. And we'll come right along behind you. We'll fellowship together, answer any questions you have about the church. And then for those of you who have birthdays and anniversaries this month, hey, here's one. How about this? This is the only anniversary this month, but it's a good one. Leo and Vonda Gardner have been married for 60 years. Right there. Wave at me, Leo, Vonda. There you go, right there. 60 years of marriage. That's great. What a wonderful example. What's that? You've done a lot of walking. Okay. Well, it's a great example to all these younger couples. It can be done. We can get there. And here are the folks that have birthdays this month. Steve Beechler, Phyllis Hahn, Cheryl Oaf, Debbie Brandstein, Jennifer Swearingen, MJ Willard, and Pat Stevens. Now, somebody that's not here that we need to acknowledge, because he would be here if he could be, Don Brandstein also has a birthday this month, and he's 90 years old, and so we congratulate him. Debbie, pass that on for us, and I'll try to communicate with him as well. We've sent a card and things, but I saw a little Facebook post, saw you guys had a big party, but that's a lot of fun, and we love and appreciate Don. So these folks can go to the head of the line as well with our first-time visitors. We celebrate your special day. We love you and appreciate you as church family, and we want to just indeed make this a summer for souls. We are going to do our best to not just sit around and have church and wait for them to come to us, but we're going to do our best to take the love of Jesus Christ out to them and try to make a difference in our community. Amen? Amen. I just got to tell you, I think I told you already, but the first Sunday when we proposed this 2 weeks ago, we told you there was about $2,500 that we were going to need at least that was not line item in the budget that we just did in February, because this is new stuff. They're just kind of taking it as the Lord lays it on us. But we got about half of that right out the door that first Sunday. So we're ready to finance the cup of cold water in Jesus' name. We got that ready to go, and we're working on that. And so that'll be exciting, and then all the things to follow. So you can give, just write Summer for Souls on your check or whatever, and we'll see that it gets to those things. Let's stand together, ask God's blessing on our fellowship and on the food, and then we're going to dismiss you to go that way and just have a great time in the Lord today. Let's go out and advance His kingdom. Brother Daryl Garten, pray a closing prayer for us, please.